Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Wednesday evenings, October 6, 2010, is now 7:01 or 7:02 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government. Now, before this bureaucratic oversized and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our program. Again, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I think we need to set our dials a little bit differently. I don't hear the feedback as I normally do. Here we go. Okay, very good. I think we're... Well, I want to make sure that we're in. Well, this evening... Well, first of all, I'd like to encourage everyone to call this evening, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. And I think on the wire is our guest, Eddie Garcia. He's a real advocate for English as the only language under certain circumstances. He's been a guest before, been a wonderful guest. And we really talk about many issues which concern our listeners. I really enjoy our banter, and here he is right now.
Yeah.
Eddie, is that you?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Fine, Eddie. It's been a long time. How have you been?
Not too bad. Been traveling, been on the road, performing, and back home in chilly Nashville, Tennessee.
I hope you've been making plenty of money.
Well, you know, Uncle Sam takes a part of it, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. You're happy with Uncle Sam taking some of your money?
You know, we live in a great country. You can't live for free.
So. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Now, you gotta contribute something into the system, even though the system is terrible these days.
Well, you know, I have to agree with that. The only time that where I have a problem, and I even have problem when I pay my taxes, and I pay my taxes like every good citizen does, and I, you know, I really am honest, and I have an accountant, and he does all the work properly, and we have financial statements for me and my companies and whatever, and, you know, whatever it comes out to be, we pay, and sometimes it is hellacious. But I'll tell you where my problem is that I don't like exactly how the government spends our money. That's where I take issue with the whole taxation thing. I don't mind if the government says, well, you know, we are, our court system costs a lot of money. Our defense costs a lot of money. And I'm talking about defense, not going overseas with aircraft carriers and bombing other countries that we can't even pronounce. And we have no idea why we're there. And Americans couldn't find it on the map in the first place. You know, all this stuff. I really have a big problem with it. And then when you see all of the royalty, you know, the people in Washington that I guess are really considered royalty these days, when they go somewhere, they fly with an entourage and security people, and they go to everything is first class, and everyone caters to them like royalty. And if they go from point A to point B, it costs millions of dollars, where you and I would be $378. You know, that's where I part company with all this stuff. And I just, it grabs me, and I'm sorry for ranting, but I always rant about that. Now, Eddie, I know you've been...
No, I agree with you on that. I mean, let's take into account our illustrious president's last vacation to Spain, how much was spent with an entourage bigger than P. Diddy or Jennifer Lopez or Simon Cowell from American Idol. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is, you know, people say, well, you know, such and such happened in California. There was a minor earthquake or something, you know, a flood somewhere. And they go, why isn't the president there, you know, consoling with the people? And I said, you know, what garbage. Every time the president wants to move, it costs mega millions of dollars with security,
yes.
you know, airplanes, you know, the preparation. The cities don't even, most cities don't want to see the president because it is so expensive for them for the, you know, to prepare for his arrival that takes all the policemen, all the security people, you know, off the streets from doing their job, and they have to focus on that alone. In fact, if you know where the president is going, which city, is a great city to loot at that time because you can do it with immunity.
Well, you know? It's funny that you say that. I was in Washington, D.C. this past weekend to attend a conference for the English language and illegal immigration, and just in Washington, D.C. alone, when the president decides to, never mind, just go out to eat, it stops traffic in its tracks, and you know, people are just completely put out. We were in traffic for, 45 minutes just waiting for the motorcade to proceed as they block streets. So you're right. When the president decides to go to another city in our country, preparation, advance team, security, all that stuff is an enormous expense. But the people, the citizens of that city, stopping traffic because of the motorcade and because of the loyalty treatment. And you know, I agree with the security of the president of the United States, but it puts people out. And I agree with you. I don't think people in general want the president to visit their city because of the cost and because of the inconvenience that occurs when that president decides to visit their city.
Yeah. Now, here's something to ponder. Before we decided to become an empire, you know, before 1910, and we decided that, you know, we're just a country and we'll produce stuff and do what we want, the president was able to leave the White House, go on the front lawn, I mean, no fence or anything, you know, where the benches were, and sit there, and people would pass by, sit down and talk with him. That was before we decided to become an empire. And then once we decided to become an imperialistic empire and go overseas and take over, you know, enslave people, squander their natural resources and whatever, you know, then we needed all of this security. And you wonder, you say, well, I wonder if my mother, God bless her soul, was right. She used to say, you know, my father used to talk about politics, and she never listened to him. I mean, she used to listen. I mean, never listened. She may believe she was listening. And my father used to get so angry with her. You never listen to anything. You're stupid. He used to say, you know, in his Italian accent. And she'd say, you know, Victor, this is what I subscribe to. I mean these exact words. These exact words. She said, if people would only stay home and mind their own business, the world would be a better place. Period. And she was so right. Yeah. Philosophically, she was right. Practically, she was right. Absolutely correct. And what do? If there's somebody who stubs their toe in a country that we can't pronounce, 7,000 miles from here, we're sending troops. We have to have our ambassador there. You know, I go, wait a minute. Germany, France, Hungary, Kazakhstan, they're not sending troops. They don't care. I mean, it's not their business. And it's all control. It's imperialistic control, and it just bothers me, and I'm getting fed up with it. I'm getting to the point where I've come to the point, Eddie, that I have no more faith in this country because of our political structure and because of our military-industrial complex. We are no longer a country. I hate to inform you of this, Eddie, but you are a slave, just like I am a slave. They're taking our earnings there to use to finance the military-industrial complex, and that's it. That's exactly what we are, no more and no less. And by the way, the military-industrial complex, I mean overall, worldwide, they don't care who wins, who loses, provided they're making money. The more planes that get shot down, the better off they are because they have to build more airplanes. And I tell you, right. I don't like it. I don't like it a bit. And I don't think I'm alone anymore.
It's a bad pill to have to swallow.
Yeah. And, you know, I used to think that, you know, if someone said that, you would have to be a nut. And I thought people were nuts when they said that. And here I am at 67 and a half years old. And what is it? I'm saying this now. I'm saying, you know, I'm in my golden friggin' years. They're not golden years. They're just years that everything hurts. Golden years. Anyway, Eddie, I know you've been really busy. and with the English as the only language. And other things, you sent me an email. Why don't we follow the precepts of that email and go through it and tell us what you've been doing, and maybe we'll get a caller or two to give you a hard time, okay? And folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. I'm your host, and we are pleased to have one of my favorite call-ins, Eddie Garcia. He is a musician, but he's also a pioneer here in America to see America be treated as its only language. Although I don't subscribe to that, we have a great conversation. Okay,
we
I should
do.
Say I don't subscribe to that.
Sure, in certain, I appreciate in, you having me on
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, I guess under certain circumstances I don't, but go ahead and go for it, Eddie. It's all yours.
Well, you know, as we've discussed in previous shows, and again, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and for your listeners to kind of get a little bit of taste and education of why I feel it's important that English be our official language when we conduct official business in our country. You know, English is the language that we have that unifies our country. It unifies us and identifies us as a nation. In no way does that mean that we should forget or not speak Spanish or Italian or French or German or whatever the language is that of your heritage, of your ethnicity. It's just when we come together as Americans in the United States of America that we conduct ourselves for progress, for prosperity, for vitality, that we do that in English, in city halls all the way to Congress. And to do anything different than that, I think, creates divisiveness. I had several conversations weeks and weeks ago with a variety of people at shows, after shows, or just on the political front, and it's clear that when we divide ourselves by language, we create these pockets in neighborhoods. We create these pockets in city halls, in town halls, where those people that do not speak English, for whatever reason, they don't want to, they don't have the time to learn. They don't, you know, they just completely refuse to learn. They have to rely on a translator and someone to give them, like a baby being fed, this is what we're saying. And I think that completely goes against the rule and the desire of anyone that wants to come legally to our country for a better life, as my parents did. We want to be independent. We want to be autonomous. We want to experience and taste and breathe and live what America is about. When you have to depend and rely on government to translate for you, to give you translated documents, there's really no independence. You're still a slave to government, and government is going to dictate what they want you to hear. And I think, you know what, you should have stayed in your own country. You come here for freedom and for liberty. You can't experience those two in happiness if you don't take the time, the initiative, the proactiveness to learn the language that we speak, the language that we conduct our court system, the language that we conduct legislation, which is English. And to me, anything short of that is, you know, let's discuss it. Why are you so insistent on saying, no, translate for me, give me these documents, let me take the driver's license in another language? It makes no sense to me. And I'm more than happy to debate anyone to discuss the issue. And you know, the realistic value of why should things be done in other languages in our country for us to move forward. Obama has put us in a precarious situation. We owe trillions of dollars. We are on the verge of socialism. And as a product of a Cuban parent, I would dare say on the fringes of communism. I mean, this guy has pretty much taking control of the banking system, probably the media in some respect, the automobile industry. I mean, what else can Obama put his fingers on and really put our country in such a precarious situation that our generations, my daughter who's 14, is going to be indebted for so long because this president running the White House that we pay for has put us in such a dangerous situation for our own domestic economy, but worldwide, globally. It's just nauseating.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Eddie. I have good news for you. Your daughter won't have to worry about that at all, because you and I, probably within the next 2 years, will be multi-billionaires. And so she won't have any problem paying off that debt once. In fact, she can get a part-time job at Walmart and pay off most of the national debt within 10 days. Of course, a loaf of bread would be $400 million, but who the heck is quibbling over change? So see, you know, there always is a silver lining somewhere to look at. Now, of course, we all would be starving at the same time, but, you know, we could afford to lose a little weight as well. Now, I agree with you that whenever there are stark differences in behavior or whatever the case may be, you find that people gather, coalesce, who are more like the same. It's almost like a function. You see this in biology when you take, you know, like atoms and they come together, and dislike one, you know, they've got apart. And it's very true. In fact, if you ever go to a party, and I haven't been to a party in, oh, Jesus, got to be 30 years, but, you know, and someone is of a certain ethnicity, and somebody else walks in of that same one, whether it be a minority person, whatever, they automatically gravitate to that same person who sort of looks like them, and they stay in the corner together. And I always thought that was kind of interesting, because no one's saying, hey, you know, we're not going to talk to you, but there's a tendency to do that. And the same thing with language, and I agree with you. If you look at Canada, Quebec has a totally different structure than really the rest of the country, and they're always talking about divisiveness and whether or not they should secede from the union and the country, and then become their own country, their own nation. So I really agree with you with that. It would be best if everyone spoke the same language. At least when we're swearing at one another, we would know what they're saying to us, right? But here's where I have a problem. You mentioned that this is a free country. It's a free country. I should be able to come here and speak whatever language I want. I mean, I want to speak Swahili and I don't want to speak English. It's a free country. I don't want to speak English. What's wrong with that premise? Why doesn't that embrace the very tenet of freedom that is embedded in our Constitution?
Well, I'm not saying that you can't, should not, or are unable, or it's not permissible. I mean, I've been traveling, and you know, I'll speak Italian, and I'll speak Spanish with friends and new people and so on. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm advocating. What I'm saying is, when you walk into City Hall in XYZ, United States of America, you should not have the ability, at my expense, at taxpayer expense from XYZ USA, to say, give me a translator because I don't speak English. Give me that document in this language because I don't speak English. I think that goes against what our country was founded on, and it certainly goes against progress. But when you're in your neighborhood, when you're in your private setting, when you're in X, wherever it is, speak whatever language you want. All I'm saying is, when you are trying to effect government business, official business, whether it's considering a new tax, considering a new law, a new ordinance, that it be done in English so that everyone understands. If you don't speak English, it's your responsibility as a human being to learn that. God gave us certain talents, and I think that is incumbent on that person to say, you know what, I'm going to nurture those talents. And by virtue of living in the United States legally, it is your responsibility to be independent and autonomous, to say, I'm going to take those God-given talents and take them to that next level. And the way to start is to understand English. Maybe if you want to roll up your sleeves and endure some pain and some blood and some tears, then, you know what, learn English enough so you can be a professor at Harvard or Princeton or at the community college. I'm saying learn English enough that I can converse with you, maybe not a debate because, you know, we'll probably get into it, but just have a conversation. At the core, what I've been advocating is the driver's license issue. Why is it that states There's only 9 states so far that have English as their official language for the driver's license exam. So why are the rest of the states willing to give a motorist who's getting behind the wheel of a 2-ton vehicle that is a deadly machine the inability to understand an English written sign? These people opposing the issue say, oh, well, all signs are, this is like Europe, all signs are images. No, I'm sorry, they're not. Go down any interstate in our country, any intrastate in our country, and you'll see English written signs, and they're written for a purpose. That's to convey safety, information, a warning, or some other type of message for that driver to understand what is going on down the road, particularly an Amber Alert. And this is what I love. Every week, unfortunately, we hear of a child being kidnapped. In Tennessee last week, there were 2. Now, if I'm driving down I-65, a main thoroughfare in Middle Tennessee, and I see an Amber Alert and I don't understand English, that sign could easily be saying, white truck, child kidnapped, license plate, and there's not a whole lot to say on it, but enough for the Tennessee State Police to say, this is what's going on, a child been kidnapped. And if I am driving on that road, and God willing, that vehicle next to me is the vehicle that has this kidnapped child, I am not able to save that child's life? That is ridiculous. The state legislature has given people an opportunity to drive, which is a privilege, not a right, to take a driver's license, and now they're on our roads causing havoc, endangering other people, unable to speak with emergency personnel, unable to deliver or receive aid because they can't speak English, and now they can't save a child's life because they can't understand that sign. To me, that's ridiculous.
Eddie, I'm lost. You lost me. I'm totally lost. I don't understand the amber light. I'm not smart enough. What does that mean?
Amber Alert.
Oh, ambulance. Oh, amber, I thought you said amber light. Oh, I'm sorry. My God. You know, I don't have good hearing. And I said, what is an amber light? Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
You know, the LED signs on our highways, they tell you that roads flooded ahead, construction ahead, whatever. But they are used predominantly to convey messages of amber alerts when a child is kidnapped.
All right. You know,
and I testified in the Tennessee Senate several months ago in support of the driver's license bill for English, and it just so happened, it was serendipitous, that a week before, another child in Tennessee was kidnapped, and there was a sign alert. Now, again, if that child is in that vehicle, whether it's a friendly kidnapper, it's kind of ironic, or someone, pedophile, that kidnapped a child, that child has every right to be saved. And if I'm driving next to them, given a legal license to drive, but I've taken the license exam in another language, I can't really read that sign. Let's not bicker about, oh, I'm driving too fast or whatever, because people, the opposition will always come up with other rhetoric. But the sign is there for a purpose. Now, if I'm driving the speed limit and so on, I'm going to see it. Whether I recognize it or not is another issue. But I'm recognizing it because I understand English. If I've taken the exam and gotten a license legally with another language, then I am unable to bring aid to that child.
Yeah.
To me, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Furthermore, I had a discussion the other week. I was in the Midwest performing and started talking to some folks about this because I bring it up every time I go. The security issue. When you go up to the DMV in your respective state to take the exam and apply for it, that DMV official who speaks English is the number one point of reference to ensure there is security when the license is being administered and eventually given. Licenses aren't like they were 60 years ago. You can do a whole lot with driver's licenses these days. You can, you know, board planes, enter secure buildings, and the list goes on. It's not just to drive what it was 60, 50 years ago. So when a person comes to the DMV and they request a translator, you are taking away the ability of that official, that DMV official, to really emphasize and enforce some security processes to ensure that that person receiving the license is not a terrorist, they're not going to harm the United States, its citizens, and the list goes on. But by the virtue of bringing in a translator, and you've taken that out of the picture. Now they pass that exam portion, the written exam portion because it's given and administered in another language. When they go in the vehicle with an examiner, most states require that the examiner and the applicant are the only people in the vehicle. Now, we all know people can be sympathetic, empathetic. So if the examiner wants to give a little more latitude for that applicant, you know, they'll gesture with their hand motions to the left or the right, and the person will probably pass.
Yeah.
When I took my license exam in Massachusetts, and chuckled that people don't realize, in Massachusetts, we had to parallel park. I don't know any other state.
Yeah, I remember that. I had a parallel park. That was the part that I thought I was going to fail.
I parallel park wherever I go, and some people go, what are you doing? They've never seen it. I'm like, it's parallel parking. I mean, how can you not know how to parallel park? So there's two steps to it.
Yeah.
I think the first step, the most crucial step, is for a DMV official to assess and decipher, is this person a danger to the community? When you provide that translator, that DMV official, if they don't speak another language, has no idea. They step away. Okay, when you're done, let me know.
Yeah.
They come back. Yeah, you pass the test in French, Swahili, Russian, Martian, whatever it is, go and take your driver's test. But you've taken that opportunity of security away. It's a major security breach. So to bring security back into the fold and to ensure that the public is able to really engage with every motorist that's behind the wheel of a car, I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure that English is the language when you're taking the driver's license exam.
Okay.
It's common sense.
Yeah. Now, you know, everything you say, I mean, is logical. I wish I could say, you're a nutcake, I got to hang up on you because I can't stand you anymore. But I can't say that because I love you.
Right.
But I mean, no, you, what you say makes sense. And herein lies a problem that I have. In that, first of all, let me stop for station identification. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Please join us by calling 646-652-4620. I'll repeat that, 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Please let us hear from you. We have with us this evening Eddie Garcia, who is a champion of English as the only language, and he does most of his campaigning in the state of Tennessee. And we're discussing the ramifications of legislation that would make English as the only language and how that would streamline things from his point of view. And now I'm going to give my point of view for a second. I don't see driving as a privilege. I'll be honest with you. I don't see it as a privilege. I think driving is no different than walking. It's like saying, well, you have to get a walking license, and if you don't have a walking license, you can't walk. You need a walking license. And we're going to put a plate on you, and we're going to put it on your behind, and it's got to be visible at 20 feet. Now, I know it's silly. I know it's silly, right? But I don't see licensing as, first of all, necessary to drive a car. The person who has the most to lose if they don't know how to drive a car is the person who's driving the car. They're going to kill it. They can kill themselves. And people who are irresponsible are not going to get licensed and go out and kill themselves and somebody else anyway. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of accidents. And all of these accidents are because of speeding, reckless driving, and every one of them, not every one of them, but I would say 90% of these people all have driver's license. Wahoo! You know, so much for the efficiency of the driver's license. But here's my problem. We should not be going to the state saying, please allow me to drive, number one. The state should have nothing to do with it. We shouldn't have to go to a state building for anything. Why would we have to go to a state building for anything? The state doesn't want us. We run the state. If we are free people and it's a government of, for, and by the people, why are we going filling out forms to some bureaucrat in a state? It sounds like a European country, you know, or India or something like that. We have to file an application to ask permission to do something or to receive some sort of benefits. I'm saying our problem is not the language. Our problem is our form of government and how we're, you know, and our loss of freedom and all the regulations that both on the state, local, and the federal level that have been enacted that restrict everything that we do. I'd say, forget the privilege. Anyone should be able to drive if they want. Now, responsible people, and whoever that may be, that's not me, you know, should take a should take a driver's course. And there should be driver's courses, and those driver's courses should be given by people who are in business for themselves. It should be free enterprise like anything else. And if you want to get a insurance for your car, you will get a big break if you take one of these courses. Now, if you take a good course, you can get even a better insurance rate. I'm just saying that there's a free enterprise mechanism, and not so much, well, I don't want to get to free enterprise, but a non-state way of doing things. Non-state. And we keep on introducing the government because, and we say, well, you know, we have to do this because the government wants us to do this. And we have to fill out this form, and this form is in English, and then prisoners speak English. We got to get a translator. I say, no, screw that. They don't speak English. They don't get it. Very simple. I mean, if we got to that. But my point goes much further than that, and I say there should be no form in the first place.
Well, we can certainly... I can agree with you to an extent, but the purposes of the application and the registration and the plate, sure, let's not be naive. It is to generate revenue.
That's right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But let's look at it. From a safety standpoint, if everyone is able to drive a vehicle without a license, your ability to drive or not comes into question. You know, you said earlier of the danger of killing yourself. Well, if you're able to have the ability to kill yourself while driving, you're going to probably be able to kill someone else.
Oh, no, I understand that. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Move.
Yeah.
Secondly, use a vehicle. The purpose, I think, of having a plate, a tag, is to identify that vehicle and the owner should that vehicle and or the owner participate in some type of crime, that you can identify that vehicle. Now, you can have stolen plates and then they investigate, but obviously we want to believe that people are law-abiding. So if a black sedan just hit someone in the corner, ran over the sidewalk and hit an elderly woman waiting for the bus, then we want to have some type of identification other than just a black sedan. Here's the tag. Hopefully, if the tag is legal, they find it. If it's a false tag, then they've got to take some more measures. But I think it's a point of securing and making things more safer, just like business. I am pro-business. I'm pro-commerce. But should we allow everyone to open shop to sell a widget?
Absolutely.
We have to have some
absolutely. No, wait, let me answer the question. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Some type of business. And fraudulently selling things that don't work, or you come in, pay, and the thing will come in later. There has to be some mechanism there to protect the public.
Right.
So government overreaches, but I think there has to be that protection for the public to be able to say, no, I found that plate, it's XYZ123, or the business is not properly licensed, therefore they could be an illegal business or so on. And on the issue of licensing, testing people, you know, are you able? There was an accident 2 weeks ago in Nashville, and somebody sent me a news article. It's an intersection, the road is being fixed, and the stoplight is now a flashing red. And you can talk about it over a beer or not, or coffee. So what does a flashing red mean? Flashing red is a stop sign.
Right.
But people ran through it. Whether they knew they were supposed to stop it, they just forgot what it was.
Right.
There has to be some type of regulation to say, you know, we need to live in conformity. We need to have some type of uniform laws to be a society to live and to be able to prosper.
All right. Eddie, I'm going to have to put regulation on you. We have our callers all lined up, and they're going to hang up on us. Could we take a couple of callers first, okay? Hold on. Don't go away. Hold on. Caller, area code 770, you're on the air.
Hi, Joe. Adam in Atlanta.
Adam in Atlanta. How are you, Adam? Nice to hear from your voice.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine. You want to give this guy a hard time or what?
Well, I don't want to give him a hard time. You know, we constitutionalist libertarians don't believe in the use of force. So,
okay.
I'll try to be as diplomatic as I can.
Okay.
There are a number of issues here that need to be addressed. Now, Joe, you touched on this. who, in fact, made it possible? What entity mandated that government and also some private businesses conduct their business in multiple languages? Well, the answer is government. It's government that gave these preferences, which directly resulted in the erosion of English,
right,
as the right, official language. I mean, there are motor vehicle departments that administer driver's tests, and you talked about this, in dozens of different languages. So now you want to pass a law, and Joe, you talked about this on a previous program. Now you want the government to regulate the use of English as the official language, as if government can do anything efficiently and correctly.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Do you have an response to that, Eddie?
Well, it's government. Exactly. You're right, Adam. But we as Americans have the distinct privilege and right of electing people for our government, and we're at City Hall all the way to the White House. Now, there's certainly opposing views and opposing sides of what the issue is. But as an example, in Tennessee, where I live, in 1984, the state of Tennessee legislature passed English as its official language. And almost verbatim means that all government publications, documents, pamphlets, brochures must be in English. Now, how does a department, the Department of Safety, that oversees the issuance of the driver's license, how do they usurp the law and issue driver's license exams in four languages other than English? It's because government allows to do that. They come up with some kind of cockamamie story or angle, just like an example, the President of the United States, Clinton, passed Executive Order 13166, which mandates that all federal agencies that give federal dollars to any state agency, local or state, must provide access to people that have a limited English proficiency.
But don't we get back to the same core problem, Eddie?
Congress's power.
Yeah.
That's why there's several bills in Congress right now to revoke that, because it's not a law. When government comes in and says, well, 1984, the state of Tennessee passed English as its language, then how does a state agency dictate itself to say, we're going to give the driver's license exam in other languages?
Well, it shouldn't. I mean, the whole point is that they shouldn't be administering it in any language, including English. They shouldn't be involved at all. And all we're saying is that they've created a problem, they've compounded the problem, and now we want them to ease off on the problem. And I'm saying they are the problem. Hold on. And Adam, would you like to hold on? Exactly. There's someone else we got a couple of calls. They're all jammed up here. Can you hold on a second?
Sure. Yeah, I'll hold. I've got two other points. I'll hold.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to lose my caller. Okay. All right. Hold on. Caller, you're on the air. I'm sorry. I don't know what area code you're calling from, because it's a cell phone number. It just shows us 111. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hello, Joe. This is Joe.
Joe, I want you to do me a favor. This is Joe from Montana, right? I want you to do me a favor.
Right.
Would you send me an email with your email address?
I'd like to do that, Joe.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, because I've been trying to get on your program. Well, folks, he has a program called False Flag, right, Joe, on Block Talk Radio?
Thanks for trying to promote it, but it's off the air now because the guys who are sponsoring it, they're having personal issues, and they don't have access to a computer.
Well, I wanted to mention to you.
The reason why I don't.
Okay.
The reason I don't give out emails or anything is because I happen to believe that the government is at the particular stage now where it's kill switch and where it's trying to trace back people. And I'm a political activist like you are.
Yeah, I know.
So I just keep my I keep everything anonymous.
All right. Well, I would expect you will be visiting me in the gulag, right?
I hope not.
Okay. All right, Joe. I want you to know that I did try to contact you, and then I could try to listen to your program, and I couldn't find it, a current program. So I want you to know that I did not forget you, okay? I wanted you to know that, and that's why I want the email address to tell you that. Anyway, we did that on the air. Do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Well, Yeah, I happen to agree that English should be the official language. And, yeah, the other caller was saying that government will muck things up. Yeah, they will. But if you just have it in the books that English will be the official language, there's not too much for the government to muck up. Everything will be all forms, all publications will be in English, and it will force immigrants to learn the language.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. Stop right there, Joe. I got to stop you right there.
Okay.
What brochures? What? I mean, what is the government printing brochures for? It's my money. I don't want them to print brochures. They don't need to print brochures. They can print them in Swahili. I don't want them in any language, English or otherwise. What could they possibly be printing that would be of interest to me?
Well, you and I will agree that government should be limited to either overseeing the judicial process or just being in charge of national defense. They will have
brochures
about what they're doing, congressional records, transparency, things like that. So that the populace will know what they're doing, as long as it isn't really impinging on national security.
Well, and let me stop you right there. The transparency is easy. All you need is a free press, and the free press will guarantee transparency. You don't need the government to ensure transparency of themselves, because it'll never happen. You see, I have a total distrust of this whole system, Joe. And you have a lot more faith than I do. They're not going to pick you up. They're going to pick me up first. You know that. You're going to have to visit me.
I have some belief in our government. It's whatever party, and I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. I will go for the person that's going to protect my rights as an American citizen and stand up, not cave to political pressure, not cave to lobbyists who fund their campaigns. Someone that's going to stand up for the average American to say, you know what? Our laws need to be adhered to. And number one, the whole issue that has taken just a wave is illegal immigration. I don't care if these organizations, the Catholic Church, the Messiah comes in. The fact remains is that illegal aliens have committed the first act of a criminal offense, and that is violating our immigration law. Anything after that is moot. Then we can discuss other things. But the government, as far as brochures, Joe and Joe, the government, even though there's laws on the books, will still do things either to challenge us as constituents, to see how far can they take us, or we're the government, and we're omnipotent. We can do whatever we want. In Tennessee, even though the law says that all government publications must be in English, they still publish Spanish handbooks and guidebooks for the driver's license exam to the cost of over $300,000 a year. It's on the Tennessee Department of Safety's website.
Oh, I agree with you. No, I have to agree with you. You don't have a challenge on that.
And the representative who filed the bill in support asked the committee, wait a second, can someone answer? No one answered. Everybody hid like cockroaches when you turn the lights on. That is the issue here. The law is clear, yet the Department of Safety, under the guise and direction of the governor, no, we're going to do it on our own. We're going to do this. Let someone challenge us. $300,000 is being spent to produce, copy, and publish the guidebook and the handbook, two different books, to the tune of $300,000.
And why aren't the people of Tennessee not taking to the streets?
And other people are being cut because of the budget that we have because of this administration. And what I learned 3 months into the session is the state of Tennessee, the state troopers, many of whom are friends, the state of Tennessee is the worst funded communication system for our law enforcement as far as highway patrol. A state trooper in Tennessee can be in East Tennessee or West Tennessee or in some other pockets and unable to communicate with their 911 dispatch because there is an insufficient and inadequate communication system. That person is not only in danger from the criminals that they pull over every day, but they're in danger for their lives because they cannot communicate. Why? Because the system is poorly funded. Now, I testified to the Transportation Committee, and the senators all looked at each other. Why isn't you guys sitting up there elected by American citizens can fund $300,000 plus for other languages for the driver's license exam, but yet our state troopers who are risking their lives every day, just like our military people are every day, are out there on the road protecting us, but they're stuck on I-24 somewhere and they can't communicate. Not answered. That's where government fails. That's where it continues to fail. We need to stand up and say, we elect you. We fund you through our monies. You are
Yeah, all right. The whole thing is that America is still fat, dumb, stupid, lazy, idiotic, moronic.
I agree with you.
Okay.
We allow we all agree on that. What's the matter? You're ruining my program. But go ahead, Joe.
The majority of Americans are indifferent. Let's put it on the table. Let's be honest. We all have a lot of our on our plates. You know, everything, you got families, you got children, you got the economy, you lost a job. But yes, Americans are generally lazy. They believe in their elected officials. Oh, no, they're going to protect me. Well, they're screwing us. Getting us forever and ever, generations to generations. And it's time that we stand up to say, wait,
it's
this
very
has got
easy
to stop.
I have a very, very easy solution. Extremely simple. It's so simple people don't quite understand it. This election, 2011, especially 2012, all you have to do, all anybody in America has to do, is just vote in the independent. It'll wipe out all Democrats, all Republicans, a brand new broom, and that's it. People don't understand it. People will vote for Republicans because of the Tea Party. They don't understand this.
Little clean slate. I agree.
All right. Adam, you said you had another comment to make. Excuse me, Joe. Let me get Adam in here again.
Sure.
Adam, we only have about 10 minutes. So, Adam, if you can make it quick and then give Eddie a chance to respond.
I will try to make this quick. In regards to the Amber Alert scenario, the driver may be an American who speaks English, but may also be illiterate. Because in many states, you're not required to know how to read and write in order to get a driver's license. So my question to Mr. Garcia.
Who's this, Adam?
This is Adam in Atlanta.
All right, Adam in Atlanta. I looked into that when we were debating this issue in the legislature. The majority of people who are illiterate, and I called the commissioner of DMV, safety, whatever the nomenclature is for that respective state, in all the surrounding states of Tennessee. And I interviewed each one, maybe not the actual commissioner, but somebody pretty high up. An illiterate who applies for the license is given the exam commensurate to what their deficiency is. So they will either show them cards, or they will show them something that's in writing. Now, let me get this. In Kentucky, no matter what people in Kentucky or say about Kentucky is bad, it's a neighboring state. I love going to Kentucky. But the issue is that those people are, one, Americans. Two, they do understand and speak English. They may not be able to read The Grapes of Wrath or something like that, but they can communicate. So they can pretty much understand. I'm talking about people that come to our country legally, because I'm going to take illegal immigrants off the table. One, they can't legally get a driver's license. But if you come to here and you refuse, or you come up with some excuse that you can't learn English, that's where I'm saying the law that we filed, that the representative and the senator filed, is every permanent resident of Tennessee must take the exam in English. So the illiterates, it's a very small number of people who are illiterate. But you can walk up to someone that you can define as illiterate and have a conversation with.
You can have a conversation. But so you would not mandate that illiterate Americans be forced to learn how to read and write English?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Let's make sure that every American can read and write. Absolutely. That's what all the literacy programs are there for. But when they go in for that examination, and as I said, I've interviewed people at the DMVs, they make a painstaking effort to say, you know what, let's communicate. But they do it in English. They don't do it in Spanish or Swahili or Martian or Russian or French or German. They do it in English. They take the extra time to do it.
I appreciate
that person's going to drive, and they're going to be able to communicate if a police officer pulls them over and talk.
Can I interject something here for a second?
Here, they may not be able to read
it. Adam, one second.
I get to my last
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Question.
Yeah,
if Mr. PRC is ever accused of a crime in a foreign country where he doesn't have the ability to speak the language, would he expect to receive a fair trial, or would he simply take his lumps and serve the arbitrary prison time?
Well, first, if you do the crime, you do the time. You know, as people come here, if you do the crime consciously, you know that you're susceptible to prosecution. Okay? Don't give me the argument that, oh, no, I didn't mean to do it. You rob a bank, you did it consciously, okay?
No,
so the issue is, if I go to another country...
Completely innocent.
What's that?
What if you're innocent? You're accused of a crime. You haven't been convicted.
If I'm in another country, as a United States citizen, I am going to go to the U.S. Embassy to say, hey, this is my issue. Now, we're not talking about Iran or some of these crazy countries, right?
No, I'm just talking about a foreign country.
England, I go to France, and I'm accused of a crime. First thing, as an American citizen, I am going to invoke and say, I want to speak to somebody at the U.S. Embassy, or the U.S. Consulate, and then take it from there. Now, if I'm unable to communicate in a court of law in that country, then it's incumbent upon me to expend the funds to defend myself. I am not going to encumber that country or its citizens to say, I'm here visiting you. You guys pay for my defense. That's ridiculous.
Okay, so a foreigner in this country should have the same right to go to his or her foreign embassy.
Sure. If you're here legally, okay. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
All right, now, can I make a point here? I have a radio program here. You know, I pay a lot of money to keep this thing going. You guys don't give me 5 seconds. You know that? I hate all of you. I want you to know that, all right? I want to go on record. No, but I got a point to make. You know, we say things, I want to stop everybody right in the middle, but I can't do that. And we say, well, everyone should learn to read and write in English. What? Who said that? I mean, a person wants to not learn to read and write English, it's their prerogative. If they want to just read and write in Swahili, that's their prerogative. They never want to speak a word. They don't even want to say hello. They don't even want to know that.
Okay.
But they're a free person. They can do that.
It is your prerogative, Joe. But don't expect me as a taxpayer to provide for you.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Because where I'm going is that there would be no one to be available to you at all, because you wouldn't be talking to anybody. I mean, this is where sometimes we lose our points, is that we make a comment, but it sounds valid. It sounds like, you know, we should at least learn to read and write. Well, says who? I don't know why. I want to speak only Swahili, and that is it.
Why does an indigent person deserve counsel in a court of law, criminal court of law, when they've allegedly committed a crime, whether they know they did or not? But why should taxpayers pick up the tab to defend that person when, in the end, 80% of the time, it is verdict that they did commit the crime? Why should I have to pay for your defense when you did the crime? Don't do the crime.
Yeah, you got you. I tell you,
you're both of your arguments don't have any relationship to one another. Number one, you're right, Joe, about nobody has to speak English. However, if they don't want to be assimilated, like a lot of illegal immigrants don't, then
I don't want to be assimilated. But go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I don't even want to assimilate.
That's fine. That's fine. And you can't watch TV or listen to the radio in English, and then everybody will stick around their own ethnic group, and they're happy.
That's the way I like it. Good, okay.
If they want to climb up the corporate ladder or have a good business and relate with their customers, they better learn English.
That's right, okay.
That's
I agree.
A practical matter. Yeah. Now, with Eddie's thing about if you do the crime, you do the time, and funding somebody who is guilty, nobody wants to fund somebody who's guilty. However, jurisprudence allows people who are accused, if they're indigent, to have a lawyer.
So I agree. So when it's found at the end that you are guilty, and I, as an American citizen, paid for that defense, reimbursement.
I wouldn't say that either, because there are a lot of times people who are.
It's not a free ride. It's not a free ride, and that is what's happening with our country. Whether it's Democrat or Republican or whatever the nomenclature of the party is, it's become a free ride.
Well, that's welfare, and I agree with you on that. However, if a person is convicted, it doesn't mean that they are actually guilty, all right?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the judicial system.
Okay, number one, the most, what do they call them? Those defense attorneys that are free, are legal aid, they don't know what they're doing and they don't care. There's been a study about them.
I agree with you. Most of those public defenders, you know, they make $25,000 a year. They got 19 million cases and they just put them through like hot.
Exactly, all right? So, plus, I don't know if you've been on a jury lately. I was on a jury a few months ago. I don't ever want to be a person who has to have his life judged by that gene pool. Okay?
Right.
So just because somebody's convicted doesn't mean anything. Also, there's been that that particular center which has shown that DNA got a lot of people off death row. So just because a person's convicted. But I understand your point about the welfare state, about the nanny state. Now, and, you know, nobody as a taxpayer wants to, well, I can't say that. There are a lot of liberals. I'm not a liberal. There are people who don't mind taking money from you to fund somebody else's misadventures. I'm not for that.
Right.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to cut this short. This has been so wonderful. You have no idea. I mean, I've enjoyed this so much. Next time, I'm just going to dial you guys, have you guys go at it and walk out and have a beer and then come back an hour later.
Joe, we need to do – Joe, I will help underwrite a two-hour show because we get into great conversation.
Right.
Unlike any other program that I participate on. I mean, it's something that's critical to our country and you know, it's – I think it's important. So we'll talk offline. But
yeah, I really would. I would like to have you back, and I hope maybe Adam and Joe, you both will call back in.
When's your next show?
Well,
I'll be there.
I'll have to schedule it because I have a whole host of things to other people who are lined up that they're hollering at me that I'm late in getting them on the show and whatever because I'm dragging my feet with so many things. But we'd like to do this again. And, you can just look at the blog, in our blog and online. When you go to the website, there's a blog. It tells you exactly what I'm going to be doing and when. So let me just give – we have about one more minute left. Let me say goodbye to Joe. Thank you very much, Joe. And let me say goodbye to Adam. Adam, thank you very much for being on our show also. And now, Eddie, just let me give you about 30 seconds because I'm going to have to sign off, okay?
No, that's cool. Joe, Adam, thanks for calling in and participating, and we look forward to having some more continued conversation. If any of you or anybody else listening out there wants to continue the conversation, I created a new website that encompasses all the things that I'm doing on these issues. It's www.englishunites.com. You can reach me, email, or whatnot. But, Joe, again, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on with
Same
you
here,
and discuss
Eddie.
Issues that, whether we agree or not, but ultimately it affects our country, and that's what...
Eddie, you and I are actually in it. Yeah. You and I are in agreement, believe it or not. We really are in agreement. But the only added point that I make is that we shouldn't be doing this in the first place. You understand what I mean? But given where we are now and assuming nothing's going to change, I'm in agreement with you. I mean, you have no argument there.
Right on, brother.
Okay. Eddie, thank you so much for being on the program. I hope to have you back real soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now. Wow. Wow, what a program that was. That was really, really interesting. Let's see if we have enough time to sign off. Wow. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Brent Jacobs Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal." The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.